A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
And not just this nation, of course, around the world, because we get confessions from all over the place.
We do. That's true. So all true. Of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And which is why it's the number one podcast around the world.
As
it?
I understand it, yeah.
In comedy circles, is that right?
Yeah.
In comedy
all
circles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. We're a comedy. Of course we are. Yeah, we're very funny. I forgot.
I mean, not yes. as traditionally understood
no,
and interpreted.
Not really.
Anyway, this is the Confessions podcast, and I'm back from my holiday anyway. But last week's one was fine. I mean, it was as though I wasn't...
It was the best of, wasn't
yeah,
it? I thought it was really good, actually.
Some, some great ones from the archive. Mm. Anyway, so we're back, and Brother Matt's still in his gutter.
Yes.
Sister Holly is here in charge of not just the tack cupboard, but in kind of everything.
Yeah.
Because Sister Susie is, I don't know, she's being bohemian at a festival
Oh,
somewhere.
She's out in a
being
field
bohemian.
Somewhere.
She's wearing beads.
Yeah.
And... being at one with nature and yes. yogurt and things like that.
Burying
yogurt.
Your own poo.
Wow.
Yes. Kind of thing.
What?
That's what they do, isn't it? The festivals? Probably, I guess.
I don't think
never
so.
Been to. I think they probably do.
Have you been to one?
Never. No. Oh. Not my thing, really.
You should try one. I think you would particularly love Latitude.
I don't think.
It's on this weekend. You should give it a go.
Yeah. Mm. Instinctively, I think probably not.
Okay, fair enough. I think you're probably right.
You know.
I'm going to reconsider. Anyway, later, we're going to stop at the parish notice board where Matt will have worked out all the top correspondence about himself.
Yes.
The Not For Broadcast section, of course, all the confessions that made it onto the show, including Maggie's saucy storm story in an English country garden, Herb's bad band practice, orchestral manoeuvres in the park, and Sarah's confession, beach baby there on the sand. But we're going to start with Fred's football faux pas, which we called...
Viva España!
That was good, wasn't it?
I liked that.
Class.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Anyway, so today's confession should basically should have been read out last week, but obviously I wasn't here. So this should have, imagine it's last Wednesday, basically.
Okay, yeah.
Today's confession comes from Nobby. All right, Nobby. It says, Simon, it's the summer of 1998 and the Football World Cup was well underway in France. England had managed to get through the group stages in usual mixed fashion, beating Tunisia 2-0, yes. Colombia 2-0 and losing 2-1 to Romania. The knockout stages beckoned and thoughts of football's coming home were eagerly anticipated inevitably. Endless renditions of the re-released Three Lions and Vindaloo filled the airwaves. England were going into the last 16 knockout against an old adversary and twice previous champions, Argentina.
Of course.
Famous for their fair play and love of the rulebook.
Yes.
The anticipation for this fixture was overwhelming. This match deserved to be watched on a big screen rather than the old small living room TV. All the local pubs were showing the match, but my partner and I decided not to go to a large town centre pub as it might be too rowdy, with rowdy people doing rowdy things and singing rowdy songs.
That's true.
And we don't want to be a part of that. On the way to work, I passed a relatively quiet hostelry, which was showing the matches perfect. We set off there on the evening of the match and arrived just before kickoff. It was a warm summer evening and the door to the pub lounge with a large TV screen was ajar. We duly entered and despite the room being busy, we managed to find a seat and started to focus on the pre-match build-up, the national anthems and predicting how long it would be until the first foul. I then noticed that there was a buffet laid out on a table which, with all the usual sausage rolls and vol-au-vents and pork pies, crisps and crusty cobs, a black country speciality. Well, it was nice of the publican to lay on such a nice spread for the match, I said, and my partner agreed. And the match got underway at pace. An Argentinian penalty after 5 minutes, closely followed by a Shearer penalty, equaliser, and then a Michael Owen goal put England into the lead. Mm. All was well until Argentina equalised just before halftime. During the break, people got stuck into the buffet, and it was then we realised that everyone was wearing black.
Oh, no.
And we overheard someone say he would have wanted us to watch the match. And the penny dropped. We were at a wake. We sat uncomfortably tucking into our plates of food. Oh, you carried on then.
Oh, right.
Then an elderly couple sitting nearby leant over. Had you known Fred Long? We disguised his name for privacy reasons.
Yeah.
No, no, not long, I replied. Such a lovely man. And so, here I was struggling. So lovely, suggested my
lovely.
Other half. Yes,
yeah.
So lovely.
Lovely.
I continued and quickly changed the topic to the fall. Good match, isn't it? Should never have been a penalty. Dirty team. Plus ça change,
yes.
As they say in France.
Yes, they do.
After an uncomfortable half-time break for us, most people's attention turned back to the action of the second half, which is now summarised. The second half was extremely tense and eventful. This was the match which Beckham was infamously sent
yes.
off for a needless flick of his leg. An England goal was disallowed shamefully. They were clearly fixed, and the game went to extra time, which was scoreless. And the match ended 2-2, penalties, and
yes.
England were out
yeah.
In traditional style. After the match, we made... So you lasted the whole match. We made a quick, discreet exit, and it was then we noticed a sign on the door that had been left ajar. Private function, RIP,
oh.
Fred Wilson. Well, we didn't notice that. What a funeral faux pas it was. So I need to ask for forgiveness, not from Beckham, his red card, arguably cost England the match, nor the referee for disallowing the second half goal,
yeah.
FIFA stitch up,
yeah.
nor from the clearly and dearly departed Fred, as it is what he would have wanted, apparently. I have to ask for forgiveness for gate crashing a private wake and helping ourselves to the fine food of the grieving family that they put on for true friends and family of Fred. I also asked for forgiveness for misleading the true mourners, telling them that I'd known the departed when I'd never heard of him. Despite England being knocked out, it was a splendid buffet.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, well, that's some small measure of
yes.
comfort then.
Yeah.
And so you realise you're in... But you stayed and
yeah.
you
mm-hmm.
carried on.
Yeah.
We just through the second half. I suppose once the match had started, you didn't want to leave. Holly, what is your message for Nobby?
Well, this is just classic football, clouding your judgment, clouding every thought, so that you walk in, it's so obviously awake, everybody was in black,
yes.
there's a food spread on, and not at one point did they have an ounce of self-reflection to realise that they were in the wrong place, that they shouldn't be there. And then, to make it worse, as soon as they realise, they don't leave, they just stay there for the whole thing. They sit there eating the vol-au-vents. They didn't know Fred Wilson, a man died, and for that reason, I'm not forgiving this at all.
A man died.
Yeah.
Sitting
yeah.
wrong. Brother
yeah.
Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. I mean, it's free food, isn't it? You know, and you're having, who's going to turn down free food when you're having a pint? No one is my answer. And also, who holds a wake in a pub showing the football?
Yeah.
Surely when you're organising that, we're going to be holding the wake there. Is that okay? Yeah, you do know we're showing the footy. Oh, right. Okay, well, probably we won't hold the wake here then because, you know, it doesn't really fit.
Really.
So, no, I'm going to forgive because it's down to the management of the pub and the people organising the wake. It's all their fault.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I think, rather... strangely, I think you're right.
Yes, yes, I am. Yes, that odd feeling you're getting right now is
yes.
that Matt is actually correct. I am.
If
who holds a wake in a pub where they're showing the footy? And why wouldn't you ask that beforehand?
If there was a private room separate, that would be fine. They could watch the football somewhere
yeah.
else.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does imply we're having a wake, but also we're not that bothered.
No, no, yes.
We just want to watch
I mean,
the football.
He was great, but not that great.
I've heard that at weddings that's happened before, where people's weddings have fallen on a World Cup day or whatever, and they show the World Cup at the wedding because they'd rather that
than people. At the reception, maybe.
At the reception, because otherwise there's a strong chance that certain people won't turn up. That's why
really?
They show, yeah, absolutely. They show the World Cup because they know certain people will go, I'm afraid I might not be able to make your wedding if it's on the same day.
Who are these people?
Holly, you
know
one of those
people
and they're sat in this room. Absolutely 100%. I remember
but
going to one...
But then you'd be upset if there was a World Cup at your funeral. So you're just so like...
Yeah, no.
Hypocritical.
So I remember going to one wedding, a friend of mine, and it was on the same night that England played Germany. And this was the famous game where England won 5-1.
I remember that.
And the speeches were on during the match. And I was getting reports. People like the servers, the waiting staff were coming out and saying, we've got the game on in the kitchen. And
well, that's good.
And England have just equalised. And it was, and oh, now it's 2-1. And by the time it was 3-1, most of the men in the wedding event, even though the speeches were still on, had gone into the kitchen.
That's so poor.
It is poor, isn't it, Holly?
It is also poor, actually true. No, but you know, then, yeah, but then you things. Say, but I don't want the World Cup at my funeral. Well, you can't. You can't. That's the way the cookie crumbles. You can't have it both sides. You
that's
can't
so
say,
true.
Oh, at a wedding
sense.
It's fine. But yes, at my funeral,
it's not okay.
So it's a bit, this is a bit grim. But so if your funeral is held on the day that Liverpool are playing in the cup final,
Champions
League finals, for example.
Good thought, yeah.
People would say it's what he would have wanted.
It is, actually. They will say that, yeah.
And it would be true.
And it would be true. I mean, I'd rather not be dead. That would be what my response
maybe you're not,
to that would be.
And you surprised me.
Yes, imagine that. Jump out, you see, Holly. Think about
jump
that.
Jump out of a massive cake.
Well, yes. There's something else people have put to. Anyway,
I'm just listening to the audience here, and they're saying, "Oh, they're saying parish notice board time."
Yeah,
that's what they're saying.
Yes,
Matt, I think we need some reviews that you
they
like.
Are, well, there are plenty here to get our teeth into, and they're all 5 stars. And Will 108 could be Will 08. We don't know. We'll never find out. My favourite, 5 stars, hilariously spontaneous. As a young person, I totally relate to Holly's contributions.
Thank you,
the
Will.
Genuine rapport of all participants is plain for all to see. Bravo. This feels a bit ChatGPT, I think.
Is
there.
It? I think that's quite well-worded.
I think Will says, if someone says as a young person, I reckon Will's probably 45.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right. Ginger Val, no comment there, says, brilliant, 5 stars. I listen to this podcast, the books podcast, and the film podcast.
I'm
a Mayo super fan.
Wow.
Top work from the whole team. This show never fails to put a smile on my face.
Did she say it with that kind of weird?
She does. Well done, Ginger Val. And Computer Geek 01 says, 5 stars, the best. Great pod, to be honest. Wow. Thanks. Great pod, to be honest. I mean, to be fair, it is. As they sing in Karate Kid, you're the best around. Nothing's going to ever keep you down. Do you remember that?
I do.
You're the best around. Who was
you're
that? That was
the best
around. It's
no idea.
Your man. Climby Fisher, no?
No, it is not.
Oh, you had the hit with...
Why don't you look it up? He was in Chicago.
Joe Esposito.
Your man in, Joe Esposito. I don't think that was him, no.
No, I think it was.
It was the bloke in Chicago. What's his name? Chris.
It's not him.
Chris. I'm going to look up the members of Chicago.
Well, Peter Cetera was
Peter
one.
Peter Cetera!
It's not Peter Cetera. It wasn't, I don't think.
No, I think it was, Holly.
I might need to double check. Wikipedia is not saying that.
Senior producer Holly there, just double checking. Definitely Peter Cetera. Well done.
Holly, I think you might have understood and interpreted and selected something from a different side of the notice board.
Yes, I have an email here from Anne, and she says, to the Holy Collective, back when you were in the old place, you received a confession from a newly qualified doctor on a cruise ship regarding a burial at sea and a bag of King Eddie's potatoes.
Right.
This confession sticks in my mind as I was in the car going home with my late mother, having just been to the travel agents where we booked our first of many cruises. The tale was regarding an elderly gentleman who had passed on a cruise and had requested a burial at sea. Different times, that's what it says.
So he knew he was going to die on the boat.
You read this out.
I didn't read it out.
Anyway,
I see. So this is the confession.
So the original confession was
man decides to go on a boat
and knows he's going to die.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that the tale was hilarious and had to stop the car as my eyes were streaming. Can't say the same for my mother, who was annoyed with me for talking her into a cruise. Despite the confession, my late mother enjoyed cruising, and if anyone mentioned holidays, she would say in her best Welsh accent, which I'm not going to do.
I think we should book a cruise. No, that doesn't sound very Welsh, Holly. Have another run at that.
Holly is very wise. Why don't you do it? If only it were my contribution to read out,
I'd have definitely done it
in a
Welsh accent. But yes. So she didn't end up going on the cruise then?
No, I think she did.
Mm. Oh, she did?
Yeah. They end up going on loads of cruises in the end.
Oh, right. So we all learned something, didn't we?
Yeah. Interesting. Can I request a mug?
Yes.
From the cupboard. But she spells cupboard in the Welsh way.
In the Welsh way?
I don't know, there's some W's in there.
Wow. Let me get this right. You weren't prepared to insult anyone by doing a Welsh accent. However, you're having a good old go at how the Welsh spell.
I reckon that's getting edited out. That's a typo, isn't it?
I don't think so.
It's not how they spell cupboard in Wales.
It's spelt CWPWRDD. That right, seems like a deliberate thing.
I'm
that's not
look it up.
Surely.
Welsh for cupboard.
Yeah, what's the Welsh for cupboard? If it's anything else, then
Holly, I'm afraid.
Listen,
I'm
Holly
afraid.
Is a senior. Holly is a senior producer.
Oh, right. The Welsh word for cupboard is.
Is that?
CWPWRDD.
I was right. Yes.
And how do you pronounce it?
It says difficult to pronounce. It says here, cupboard, cupboard. Cupboard. It's pronounced like
cupboard. Where's Susie when you need her? Yeah. She would help us out.
Edit point, I think, about here.
anyway, the key thing is that Holly was correct, and that's why she's a senior producer.
Senior producer. Exactly. That's the big bucks for knowing the Welsh cupboard.
Does Anne get a mug?
Yes, she does.
For her Welsh cupboard.
Yes, she's enjoying the confessions. And I was a bit confused by the cruise confession. That was at the old place, so it was a bit before me. But
yeah, it was.
All fun.
I mean, I know people die on cruises, but it seems a little bit too much to think. I think I've got about a week left. I don't think
they throw them into the sea, though, do they?
No.
When they die on
There's
the
a
cruise.
Mortuary on every cruise.
Is there?
Yeah.
But
wow.
He wanted to
In case someone dies.
He wanted a burial at sea, so presumably they did. They just...
They want said, to in the King
But it
Edward.
Said sack of potatoes.
I'm sure they don't put them into a sack of potatoes.
So did they say
that
we're burying this guy, but actually they chucked in a bag of potatoes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I was thinking, did the potatoes weigh it down?
The man?
Yeah.
Like a gangster killing.
What is this?
Sorry, Holly, is this taking a turn?
Holly was in the Chicago Mall, turns out.
So he wasn't dead.
What?
But they tied these potatoes to his feet.
And some concrete shoes.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the kind of stuff that we got away with back in the day.
We did, but all of this is being edited out.
That's right. Who knows? No, it's going to make it.
Oh, it's going to win? Oh, wow.
If you have something to tell us, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions now for Lightbound, Mikey Thomas. Didn't he play for Wrexham?
He did, Mikey Thomas, yeah.
And Smokey Sweet, who were amongst those who sent over the secret code phrase from 2 weeks ago, which was, stay off my French horn.
Oh, yes.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase for you at the end of the podcast, and he won't just make it up at the last minute.
No, I probably will. Anyway.
Pause for music stab. Okay, let's march down the cold, hard marble steps to the confessions marked in big red letters, not for broadcast, starting with you, Graham. The boy at your school, nicknamed the Gannet, sounded like a real nightmare. He'd eat your packed lunch, steal your snacks, and even help himself to your favourite biscuits. But getting your own back by swapping his bubble gum for laxative gum was taking it too far. He may have been a food thief, but he didn't deserve it. Well, maybe he did deserve it, but we don't do laxative confessions.
We really don't, no.
I don't know.
No.
It's kind of one of the rules, although that would have been funny.
How many times have you got sort of midway through a confession, then suddenly the word laxative comes up and you decide?
That happens a few times.
It does happen.
Yeah.
And there used to be the equivalent, which we haven't had any of these for a while, and neither do I want any.
Okay, just to confirm, yeah.
Of, you know, your flatmate is annoying, and so you swap her shampoo for hair removal gel or something.
Right, okay, yeah.
So, you know, so she goes to the shower, puts it in, the hair falls out.
Yeah.
That's not very nice, really.
No, it's not. No.
Leaves a nasty taste in the mouth. And most shampoo does, this particular confession. So anyway, and also you, Patricia, after your boyfriend dumped you, you couldn't stand anyone called Daryl. Seems like
fair enough, really.
How has this not gone on? This is great. Go on, carry on.
When you advertise for a new receptionist at work, an innocent bloke named Daryl turned out to be the perfect candidate.
Yes.
And you still gave the job to someone else. It wasn't his fault he shared the same name. And as it turns out, that's illegal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame because I would have done that because that's funny.
Yeah.
But is that a crime?
That's illegal.
You can't discriminate based on someone's name. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that seems fine.
I think we
sort of discriminate based on boyfriend and girlfriend.
We discriminate based on boyfriend and girlfriend.
I had a bad experience with a Daryl, therefore I'm not going out with anyone called Daryl. That seems fine.
Yeah,
to
but
me.
That's not what happened.
If innocent Daryl applies for a job, you can't refuse Daryl a job just because he's called Daryl.
I mean, you don't tell him that, do you? You don't say, I'm refusing you because you called Daryl. You just say, you didn't fulfill the tasks. set.
But what if they did?
Then
what if they were
you
great?
Fulfilled them See? Badly, Daryl. This is why you're not getting the job. Stop coming back at me with your other methods.
So we're not going to have a Daryl work on the show.
Well, I've got no problem with the Daryls. I'm open-minded about Daryls. Yeah. It's
Patricia
Sheila. Patricia, who has a problem with Daryls.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, it's disappointing that that couldn't get through. But in general, if it's a crime, we can't do it.
No.
Laxatives, we don't do them.
No.
And removing her, we don't do that. Don't do them either.
I mean, unless it's somebody famous.
Yes.
That would be fun.
Oh, very
Anyway,
funny.
So let's get back to the confessions that actually did make the cut. They're bad enough. A confession involving Cluedo, of course, in the tale here in an English country garden.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
It's high time that we brought you today's confession, which I should say has a little bit of a 12 vibe going on.
Oh, really?
Certificate 12, okay. I think, very much so. It comes from Maggie. Thank you, Maggie. Father Simon and the team. I seek forgiveness from our current next-door neighbours. And at the time, my 15-year-old son and 17-year-old daughter. My husband and I, we're the mum and dad in this story, had what we all know as mum and dad time. It was a Cluedo evening.
Okay.
And shall we say the evidence of us not wanting to provide more siblings had been had been safely disposed in the dustbin.
Right. We've all got it. Yeah.
Okay. These are wise precautions, of course, and I'm sure most of your listeners will understand. Not the Pope, maybe, but that's a different and bigger story to be discussed elsewhere and not now. Anyway, as luck would have it, Storm Doris arrived the next day with force, and I arrived home from work later that afternoon to find the contents of our bin blown around our back garden. I scrambled around collecting and chasing rubbish as the wind continued to battle our efforts to clear up. At this point, my then 17-year-old daughter arrived home from college and 15-year-old son from school. Being the helpful children we'd brought them up to be, they immediately rushed out of the back door to assist me. Within seconds, the sound of my daughter screaming, "That's disgusting!" alarmed me with great fear and trepidation. My son immediately went to investigate, and I followed with embarrassment, knowing what I was about to see.
Oh, no.
My daughter quickly turned into Miss Marple, trying to work out where this had come from, deciding immediately it couldn't be mum and dad as they didn't do this kind of thing.
They definitely didn't.
She turned to my son, who alarmingly confessed at this point, this is an incredible line, "It's not mine. I don't know how to tie knots."
Tie a knot?
He doesn't know how to.
No.
Quickly, with panic and embarrassment, I blamed the bohemian couple next door, who wore beads and caftans, which seemed to my children to be, in their eyes, the most reasonable explanation, as the neighbours on the other side are an adorable couple in their 80s and whose Cluedo days are probably long gone. Well, quickly thinking what to do. I mean, you never know. But their Cluedo set is probably dusty and threadbare.
Right.
Quickly thinking what to do, I texted my husband to warn him that when he walked through the door half an hour later, he would be welcomed with what had been found and who it belonged to. Sure enough, husband walks in and is greeted with a near hysterical retelling of the children's terrifying discovery. "Oh," says he, "that'll be Coco and Gideon next door again." Typical hippy-dippy boho behaviour. Yeah, I'll have a word. And that was the matter sorted. So, therefore, I need to seek forgiveness from my lovely bohemian next-door neighbours for blaming them, and also my son for not teaching him how to tie knots. I mean, that's a kind of a fairly basic thing that you should have done, but that's not the thing I'd be particularly worried about there. Anyway, he said it wasn't. Anyway, it's fine. We move on, blushing slightly. Sister Holly, what do you say?
This sounds like quite a traumatic experience for the teenagers. I feel like this is the kind of story where, as a teenager, they took it at face value, and then years to come, they'll think back on this, and the penny will suddenly drop, and it will be not a great moment. Any confession involving Cluedo is a bit much for me, to be completely honest. Yes. And so,
and
for
is
that
your parents Cluedo?
It's just goodness. Too much. Yeah. And so, for that reason, I can't forgive. I'm so sorry,
brother. Sick and wrong.
Yes,
it is.
Very.
for you.
Very sick and wrong. I am definitely going to forgive because, as Holly's pointed out, we'd far rather it was the Bohemian parents or the Bohemians next door doing it than our own parents. Mm. Absolutely, quite right. And it slightly concerned me when we found out that the husband was going to be presented with the evidence. The idea you're going to hang on to it, just put it back in the bin. Let's all forget about it and pretend it didn't happen and just blame it on the bohos, which is very much my philosophy in life.
Blame it on the bohos,
seen them live. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Don't blame it on the sunshine. Don't blame it on the moonlight. Blame it on the bohos.
Correct.
Those bohemians next door.
Yeah.
Who are always at it.
Always at it.
Or something like that. Is that wrong?
That bit out. It's certainly a judgment call.
I reckon bohemians are fun. They're lovely.
Are they though?
Yes, I like a bohemian.
A little bit irritating with their ways.
Yeah. You don't like the flowy scarves?
No.
Who doesn't like a piece of cheesecloth every now and again?
My goodness. And the endless conversations.
About what?
About judging by choice of sandwich or something.
It goes on and on. You're not the type to try vegan cheese.
No. Vegan cheese right up there with burying my own poo, Holly. It's a no-go from me. No thanks.
Anyway, Chris... send us a confession. If you're a bohemian type, we would like to hear a confession because I think you've
got... Yeah, underrepresented.
Yes. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Coming up, we join Herb in his terrible trumpet tale, Orchestral Manoeuvres in the Park. But first, it's Sarah's confession. Beach baby, there on the sand from July to... It's too long. Just say beach baby.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession comes from Sarah and is very nicely circular, actually, I think, as you're about to find out. Sarah says, Father Simon and your Forgiving Collective, my confession was inspired by your favourite beach feature, which you're running at the moment. So a confession inspired by another feature on this show. Back in the 1990s, every year, my mother would rent a cottage on the North Norfolk coast. It was usually a three-bedroomed house near the beach in Brancaster, which was a shame because I'm one of four siblings, so there was never enough space. My older brother John and his family always arrived first and got the best bedroom. I, on the other hand, was married to a farmer, so we had to wait until he'd finished his harvest before we could arrive. This meant that we usually ended up in the broom cupboard. By the way, my husband is Tim, and he sent you a confession when he was playing with his action man in the bath and needed to spend a penny.
Oh, yes, I do remember.
Remember that.
Yes.
Very good. Okay, so we know where we are. On this particular day, we decided to spend it on the beach. Brancaster has a beautiful beach with a vast expanse of sand, which was very dog-friendly. Our dog was a very well-behaved Labrador called Ruby. John also had a dog, a free-spirited Weimaraner, I think that's how you say it, called Max. Once we had made camp on the beach, had a couple of drinks. There's the problem.
Okay.
And lathered the chicken... lathered the children.
Sorry.
You don't take a chicken to the beach. Unless you... It's part of the picnic.
That's a euphemism. Anyway, yes.
Okay. Timing slightly out now.
Yeah.
So we lathered the children in sun cream, because that's what you do.
Uh-huh.
My husband and I decided to take Ruby for a walk. At this point, John said, oh, take Max with you. He'll be happy to go with you, and he's usually quite well behaved. I think the word usually is the key word there. We were quite relaxed. We had a couple of beers, and we agreed to take him. Father Simon, we were not really prepared for what happened. Ruby, our faithful, well-trained gun dog, plodded along with us. Max, on the other hand, decided to make the most of his freedom away from his master. He ran around the beach at full pelt, enjoying all the space. First, he found some children playing cricket. He loved catching their ball and running off with it. I think he caught two of them out. The children were not happy, chasing after him to get their ball back. I thought we should just call him back. However, my husband said, No, that means they'll know he belongs to us.
Keep
walking.
Yeah.
Next, the dog joined in with a football match. Who knew he was such a good player and could dribble the ball out to sea? Just keep walking, said my husband. Father Simon, the worst was still to come. Suddenly Max stopped running and put his nose in the air. Then he started running with real purpose, straight towards a young family sitting inside their windbreak. There was a lot of shouting of, go away, leave him alone, and then the distant, sad sound of a baby crying loudly. Max the Free Spirit had woken their baby and then proceeded to help himself to their picnic.
Oh!
The young couple were screaming at him to go away. He returned with the picnic bag, followed by a young man, presumably the dad. Just keep walking, said my dad. Sorry, said my husband.
Yes,
there was a few typos. Sadly, this ploy didn't work this time as Max brought the bag back to us.
Ah.
We managed to get the bag off him after he'd eaten the contents. By the look of it, it was a couscous salad and cheese sandwiches.
Well, it dodged
that. Not worried. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So you're judging it on the basis of the food. Meanwhile, this very angry man was coming towards us. Is this your dog? He demanded aggressively. No, we said, he just sort of followed us along the beach. We've never seen him before. This here is our well-behaved Labrador. This is our dog. This other one might belong to that guy behind the red, green and yellow windbreak over there. You can use my dog lead as I don't really need it for my well-behaved Labrador, and then you can take the bad one back to that guy behind the windbreak. Anyway, we kept walking, and that evening we denied all knowledge of the incident when questioned by my rather disgruntled brother, but then he did have the big room.
Yes.
I would like to beg forgiveness from all the people that Max upset that day, especially the young couple and their baby who he woke up and who ate all their food. I don't seek forgiveness from my brother because he had it coming to him. Max was his dog after all, and he had the best bedroom. Yours in silly. See, this sibling rivalry stretches a long way, but I do think that badly behaved dogs on beaches is a very bad thing, and I think Holly is going to sit on this one very badly.
Yes, I agree with you. You know, it started off well, Sarah, saying that you were inspired by our Beecher feature to get in touch with this wonderful story. However, not so great. Not being responsible for the dog. I know you didn't technically own it, but you were taking it out, which means that for that hour-long period, whatever, yes, you did own the dog. There's nothing worse than when I see a badly behaved dog run. I love dogs, but a badly behaved dog running up to me. I find it scary. I find it annoying. It's going to get sand all over my trousers, and I get rather upset about it.
Yes.
And so for all those reasons, it's sick and wrong, and that's why I'm not forgiving.
Yes. I think they'd had beer and they'd had couscous salad. Oh, no, the other people had couscous salad. That's the other people.
Yeah.
I think the beer's to blame here, Matt.
Yes, I'm going to forgive. I mean, who would have thought that a dog would be interested in couscous salad? I didn't think they'd go for that, as indeed neither would I. But surely,
you're not a dog.
But I'm not a dog. Mm. That is also true. But surely it's down to the brother to train the dog. Surely, doesn't the brother have some shoulder some of the blame here?
Yes.
So I'm definitely going to go. I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to nip upstairs and lather my chickens. So for that reason, that's why I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's comes from Herb, as in H-E-R-B.
Yeah.
Mm. As in the herbs, as in Herb Alpert. You get the general idea.
I remember them, yeah.
Herb says, dear Father Simon, I'm 58 now, and in May I was visiting Pitlochry in my camper van. As a keen cyclist, I took my gravel bike along the edge of the river and got a bit lost trying to get across to find a way back on the other side. I ended up cycling up a very steep farm track and stopped to get my bearings and look back along the stunning glen. And there it was in the distance, nesting in a beautiful Scots pine forest, Bonkseed House, it's called. And the memory came flooding back.
Oh, nice.
Yes. It's 1983 again, and I was residing in this huge Harry Potter-esque ancestral pile as part of a band camp on a rehearsal weekend with my regional youth orchestra. Have you ever been a part of a regional youth orchestra, Holly?
Yeah. I've played in a few orchestras, yeah.
A bit disreputable?
Well, not the violin
not
players.
The ones,
no. So, you know.
Kicking off with the French horns.
I played the trumpet, says Herb, as you would, and the residential event was attended by many young teenagers from different schools. During a break from rehearsals, a group of us, male and female, went for a walk through the woods to get out of the stuffy old building and away from all the supervising teachers. We were at that age when all the boys were a bit immature and the girls were definitely not. To try and impress the females, I was climbing trees, throwing rocks, and generally being incredibly annoying.
That always works.
Throwing rocks.
Yeah, yeah,
look
yeah.
at me throwing this rock. Oh, he's good.
Oh, yes, can't get enough.
As we walked along the forest path, I noticed this metal T-bar sticking out of the ground about chest height. In order to further impress the girls, because they hadn't been impressed with my rock throwing, I proceeded to turn the bar one way and then the other, and then again and again. Hey, it was great fun. Someone then said we better get back to rehearsals or we might be late, and we all hurried away. The next day, we're having our breakfast in a huge room with bay windows overlooking the front of the house, and I sat down with my usual choice of toast and sugar puffs. I polished off my toast, took a mouthful of cereal, glanced outside, and froze. A police car had just arrived, followed by a Scottish water van. Our orchestra conductor, who was always angry anyway, was standing shaking his head in front of a police sergeant and a little man wearing blue overalls. The little man looked like his head was going to spin completely off. I didn't move a muscle. They disappeared and were clearly heading in the direction of the dining room. The whole orchestra now realised something was amiss, and the chat over breakfast had got louder and louder. The three of them stormed through the huge ancient doors and slammed them shut. A deathly silence settled all around. The orchestra conductor began. Apparently the day before, someone had tampered with a switch on the main local water supply, and we were the prime suspects as we were in the area. I immediately swallowed a whole mouthful of sugar puffs in one go. No mean feat, because the average size of a sugar puff is 1.5 to 2 centimetres.
Interesting.
It is, but yeah. And they weigh 0.5 of a gram.
0.5 of a gram, of course.
And he swallowed a whole mouthful.
Whole mouthful, didn't he? Yeah.
The little Scottish waterman could then contain himself no longer and shouted angrily and in a broad Scottish accent.
Ooh. Yes, here it comes.
And whoever did this cut off the water supply for two whole villages and several farms and crofts, and one contained a poor pregnant lady.
By Islington, probably. I don't know.
The police sergeant just looked threateningly at everyone in the room, but mostly at me, it seemed. Our conductor then proceeded to explain that the little angry Scottish waterman had had to spend the last 24 hours checking miles and miles of pipeline until he came to the tampered switch. Certain I heard a teacher or two fail to suppress a giggle at that point. The police sergeant finally spoke and said that if anyone knew who the culprit was or the guilty party wanted to confess, he'd be around until we left for home later that evening. The angry adults then left the room. I could see everyone in my little hiking party staring at me. Some of them were grinning. I decided that denial was my only chance. In the dormitories, while we were packing up for home, I quietly hid away. And when we were finally allowed on the coaches, I went straight to the back and kept my head down. Finally, we drove away so slowly, past the unhappy policeman. No one had turned me in. About a month later, we were taking part in a concert, and I found myself alone next to the rather nice young daughter of the conductor, herself a music teacher, and not angry at all. She smiled and whispered to me, "We all know it was you, Herb." I almost gave the wrong name there.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I gave her my best Hong Kong fooey, could be, look, and left for Hong Kong fooey. Holly was like a 70s cartoon.
Could be.
To this day, I remain free of this crime, so I need to apologise to all the villagers, the crofters, and particularly the pregnant lady, of whom I denied a water supply to that weekend in the early 80s. I'm even now sorry for the little Scottish waterboard man. It was just the sort of thing teenagers do when they don't have the internet to play on. I beg the forgiveness of all the affected locals and Simon and the panel. Let's see where we go. I'm not sure. I know that Holly is going to be really mad. Matt, what's that? Whatever. Sister Holly, what do you say?
Yeah. I mean, the brass section, they do have a little bit of a reputation, the brass players, actually. Yeah, for fooling around. And obviously he was doing this actually as a child. So he almost like saw the future really with it. He was doing, yeah. impressing ladies by throwing rocks and turning a dial, yep, which you weren't supposed to do, it wouldn't have impressed me, that's for sure.
No.
And he cut off the water supply for a whole village and everyone else. And it was a real disaster. And so that's why I'm not forgiving this at all. Not good behaviour, really.
Sick and wrong.
Yeah.
Brother Matthew.
Yes, I'm going to forgive. Number one for the Sugar Puffs reference. Are they still going? We don't know.
No,
we don't know.
They're
Honey Puffs,
they're
I think. They're
called Honey Puffs.
Yeah,
Honey Puffs,
yeah,
excellent, love them.
But they're still 1.5 centimetres.
Yeah, 5 centimetres long, good. But I'm definitely going to forgive, because if this tea bar was so important, there should have been a sign on it. If you put a sign on it, tell people don't turn this tea bar because you'll cut off the water to all of these
It's cool just using your
places.
Initiative, isn't it?
It
really?
Is, isn't it?
Yeah,
so we both agree on this, that there should have been a sign. The water companies back in those days didn't have a clue. Thankfully, that's all changed. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Well, so there's the thing, the tea bar, they said, was at chest height. If there's a tea bar sticking out at chest height, that's asking to be turned.
It is, isn't it, somewhat? Mm-hmm. It definitely needs to have some kind of thing.
Put it away.
It. Yes, put away tea
put
bar.
It away.
Correct, yes. I agree. I was right again.
Why would you touch that, though?
Why would you touch the tea bar?
Because you're a boy.
Because it's in the middle of a forest. I don't know whose phone
someone's
that is.
Phone is
not it's someone's phone. It's
someone's
phone. Definitely.
Do not disturb.
I'm on airplane.
And I am on
O2.
O2. Okay. Yeah.
Or Vodafone or any
other. Oh, there are so many, aren't there? Yeah. All very good.
All very well.
Apart from that one. Yeah. Anyway, don't need to.
So, but this was a very, very informative week, I think. But particularly learning that the brass section of an orchestra are always up to no good.
Yeah.
But if there's bad stuff happening, it'll be the brasses.
Kind of, yeah. They don't have the greatest reputation. They're just known for fooling around, I think, sort of pranking, fooling around.
Do the first violins get annoyed?
I think so, yeah.
Are they the goody-goodies, the first violins?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I was a first violin, so I suppose.
Oh, okay. Huge shock.
I know.
This is my incredibly shocked face.
Yeah. Yeah, the audience can't see it, but it's actually really shocked, guys. But every section of the orchestra has a reputation, I would say. And the brass section was a banterous one.
Okay, who has the worst reputation?
It's up to personal preference.
Yeah, what is
really?
Your personal preference?
Yeah. Come on, Holly. Dish the dirt. If you percussion. Were... Was it percussion? It's got to be there,
No. Percussion's drums. Quite fun. I find flutes slightly annoying.
Oh,
I know,
flutes
sorry.
Are annoying,
I know,
aren't they?
I know.
James Galway could never stand.
Yeah, I know. James Galway's cool though.
Wandering around playing Annie's song all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
It's just like
leave it out, James.
They would start the rehearsal with the flutes sort of horizontal, and then they'd end it just sort of. They were so sort of. They just hold it right down here. It was just really.
They're not holding it right.
Yeah, they would hold it badly. Just. Being a bit like, I don't know, just gossipy, annoying.
I'm beginning to think the flute are my people.
You playing the flute would be the most bizarre image.
Oh, you're right. But I think they're my people. Bit of gossip, I like that.
Spirits there.
Ian Anderson in Jethro Tull, he plays the flute.
Yes.
And
yes.
He stands on one leg. And plays the
flute. That's cooler. Peter Gabriel playing the flute, that's also
fine. That's all right.
Yes.
But flute players in orchestras... You can't.
No, that's what Holly said.
I'm too late now.
Them flautists.
Yeah.
It's all coming
out, isn't it?
James Galway.
Not him.
James Galway.
That's the end of this week's podcast. Yeah. If you've got a tale to tell, please send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes.
It's just worked out.
The secret code phrase this week can be burying my poo. Burying my poo is...
Burying or bearing?
Burying? Burying.
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 Burying my poo.
No one bears their own poo, do they?
Well, no one buries their own poo.
Well, they do in festivals, as I understand it. I really do think they do.
You've never been to a festival?
I've never been to one, but I'm pretty sure that's what they're all doing.
They go to the toilet.
And it's the reason I won't be going to the festival.
Okay, so the secret code phrase is...
burying my poo.
If you have made it this far, you can post this week's code phrase on Threads or Blue Sky or Instagram, Blue Sky, blah, 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 and all the, you know...
yes, and the blah, 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 blah. Yes.
Leave us.
That's right. Yes.
Or you can call in at reception.
No, do that instead.
And call Holly at home.
Yes.
Remember
thanks.
To leave us a 5-star review, and don't forget to share this podcast with a couple of friends in the shower, or a tennis partner would be good. That's a very fine thing.
Tennis partner?
Yes. If you play tennis with someone else, tell them about this podcast.
That's a great idea.
Yes. Yes.
But it's a very good idea, tennis partner.
Or your pickleball partner.
Pickleball is the future, I think.
It is. It's very trendy.
They're a bit like flute people. Are very annoying.
They're not. I don't think so.
They really are.
Come and join us playing pickleball.
come play a bit of pickleball.
Anyway, we've got to finish the show. The tape's running out.
It is. Yeah.
From Sister Holly. Yeah.
Hasta la vista, baby.
From Brother Matt.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
My dad's joined a pickleball club.
Oh, you're going to bring that out.